I'd like to look in the book of Hosea. Start reading in the book of Hosea. About the 10th chapter and the 12th verse. So thankful this morning that the Lord has given us a little portion of His Word, and I hope it will be a blessing to you. I'm thinking today about breaking up our fallow ground. And I think it's necessary for us to keep an attitude of tenderness and softness to the Lord, because we can become hardened. Any of us can get hardened. And becoming discouraged can cause us to get hardened. And when we maybe have ambitions and desires and we don't see those things fulfilled, it can cause us to get hardened. And we don't want to let life with all of its problems get us that way. And I think there's a little answer here to help us. The book of Hosea, the 10th chapter, and please pray for me this morning. The Lord would bless His Word. Sow to yourselves, let me go to the 11th verse. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn, but I pass over her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride. Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You have plowed wickedness, you have reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, and the multitude of thy mighty men. The preparation in my margin here, my Bible said preparation for blessings. There was a united effort to get the ground broken up. It wasn't just one person doing it. There was a joint effort in getting the job done. I believe this morning, with the Lord's help, that we can prepare a place for Him to dwell in our life. I believe that we can prepare our hearts to receive some of His truth and some of His ways. The world has its ways and has its methods of getting control of our minds, but God has a way. And if He can get into our hearts and minds, and if we can let Him in, He will work in such a wonderful way. And He will do things for us that the world cannot do. Now, He says here to break up your fallow ground. Not ground that's in a stony place, somewhere where it's under water or under the growth of trees and brush, but fallow ground. I'm thinking this morning, let's give the Lord our best. If we want to give Him something and do something and make this life successful, let's do our very best. And the ground that has the potential to bring forth something, let's break that up. Break it up and keep it soft. You know, you just let rain come down and fall on ground. It can, without being broken up, it can make the ground hard. I mean, there can be just, the ground can just get hardened if it's not broken up. And it can very, very likely the weeds that are growing there and all the underbrush and everything and just rain falling on it, it'll make that ground just grow weeds. But when we break up ground and we get pull those weeds out and we get all the land prepared and make a way for the good seed to fall there, there's a real change that comes about. There's something that happens. That fallow ground and getting a place, a preparation spot for the Lord is necessary for us to produce fruit of righteousness. I have written down here some things that possibly will hinder us, sins of omission and getting our ground broken up. One of them is ingratitude, not being grateful, not being a grateful person, and not having the gratefulness to God, especially for what He has done for us. Not acknowledging Him, possibly just for having good health and having some good things in life. It could be that we become hardened and we become ungrateful. You know, have you ever tried doing anything for an ungrateful person? Just nothing pleases them. They're hard to please. Well, I don't think that's a trait that the Lord can plant His beautiful tulips and His beautiful lilies and all the beautiful things of His garden around an ungrateful heart. Break it up. A want of love to God, another thing that I was studying about and looking at, a want of a love to God. The Lord desires to have fellowship with us. I believe that's why He created us, is to have fellowship with Him, don't you? Isn't that His purpose, is having fellowship with us? Isn't that something that really interests Him? A want of a love to God, having a lack of that closeness with Him produces a hard heart. We need to break up our fallow ground. Neglect of the Bible. I don't know of anything, even in today's time when there's so many things available to read and all, when we don't have time to read His Word. We don't have time to study. We don't have time to sit down with Him and let Him commune with us about some things. Neglect of the Bible. How dusty is your Bible? If I looked at your Bible, would it look like a brand new book that was just opened up out of the box? Or would there be pages that had stains from your fingers as you touched the leaves and you thumbed through it and you wrote down and maybe put out some little notes? Neglect of the Bible brings a hardened heart. How are we going to resolve that? To break up our fallow ground, folks. That's what it means to get our hearts in a preparedness, getting ourselves in a place of readiness to listen and love the Lord. How about unbelief? Unbelief can be something that can cause our heart to get hardened. As the disciples was with the Master and He worked for them, or He worked with them and showed them miracles, things is going well. But then after a little space of time, they weren't with Him, the Scripture says, and their hearts were hardened. And it was not very long that He had been with them and worked miracles. How long does it take in the Lord's absence for us to stop believing in Him? Maybe He really done something big, and this big event in our life was just so real and everything was working so well. But now that part is over with and we're in the next phase and He's not around, and it seemed like we just lived from little high point to high point. And pretty soon unbelief sets in and we think, oh my, where is God now? Where is He at? I just don't see Him. I don't feel Him. He's not around. And unbelief can cause our hearts to get hardened. Folks, we don't serve God just for all the dessert. It's not serving Him. That's not real fellowship, just in all the good times. There's times we serve Him and we believe that He's there even though we can't feel Him. Even though we don't really see Him and know that He's right there by us, we still serve Him. I mean, there's times, I'll tell you, that we have to go on just mechanical and think, Lord, I know You're there. Like Job said, He knows the way that I take. And I'm going to keep going the way that I last saw Him working in. I'm going to keep living for Him, and I'm going to keep following Him, even though it doesn't seem like He's just real close to me, because what am I being dogged by? I'm being dogged by unbelief. Oh, you must have been going on feelings all along. He must not really been real to you anyway. You see, the unbelief and the hardness of our hearts, those things just work together. And if we're not careful, we can let those things cause us to get in a state of lethargy and, cause us to get in a state of just lukewarmness, unbelief. I believe the remedy is break up our fallow ground and get something close and special with the Lord. A neglect of prayer. I think this is a good thing. I was listening. Someone has a desire to have prayer and fasting for those who are sick and in trouble. I believe it's a good thing to have group prayer and ask the Lord to help us and not let our prayer life go dim. Lord, help us. I felt the need of that myself. I believe, folks, we really need to be praying people. Keep praying and less talking. Less talking and more prayer. Less talking about our brother that maybe we're having trouble with and more prayer for the blessings of the Lord to be in their life and the Lord to help them and aid them on. More prayer, less talking. A neglect of prayer will bring a hardness of heart. Having a lack or a want for the love of souls, for those that are lost, those that are away from God, those that are drifting away and not having a burden for them. Different times the Lord's impressed burdens on me for people's souls, and I believe we need that today for all of us to have it. And sometimes it doesn't sound good to request prayer, but I think, Lord, help us to not be so preoccupied with ourselves that we forget about the needs of the lost. You see, that is one thing that's been on my mind so much today. And not just today, but I've thought different times, the preoccupation of so many things robs us from God. I'm preoccupied with my own personal life. I'm preoccupied with my own personal needs. I'm preoccupied with the overwhelming things around my own life that it takes my thoughts and everything away from other people and the needs of souls. It's good for us to see people that are real and people that are out there in the world. Because sometimes right around our own little clusters, I told someone this week, I said, I promise you, the things you hear in the paper, that's only a portion of what is going on. You can't go by just what all is in the paper, by what's happening in our society. Lord, help us. The preoccupation of self will keep us out of the circle of God's blessings. Also, to tie in with that, the want for the care of the heathen, those that are way far away from God, those that are also lost, it kind of ties with the need for helping souls that are saved, helping souls that are lost, the heathen. There's lots of things here to think about. Neglect of social duties and family duties, neglect of them. Sins of omission brings a hardness of heart. Neglect of social duties. Maybe we are a private person and some of our, again, preoccupation with ourselves causes us to forget and lose sight of what all is going around in our communities, in our families, and in our extended families. I've often thought, Lord, help us to not forget those that are just out of our circle. I mean, those of our families we pray for, but there are some that we can touch outside of the circle. I've been praying, Lord, help us this year to touch those that are just out of our circle. Because, folks, there's a hole just beyond our fellowship. There's lots of people that are very needy and hurting. Oh, Lord, help us today. The family duties, social duties, those things. And if we omit doing those, it can cause us to become hard of heart. The neglect of self-denial. I mentioned, don't want to stress it overly, but the preoccupation of ourself. We need to remember the Lord said, not my will, but thine be done. Also, on the other hand of the sins of omission, there's also the sins of commission. Being worldly minded, thinking more of how I can get and gain and I can prosper and I can advance in this life. In the book of Hebrews 3 and 13, it tells us this. I'm going to read this so I don't miss any of the part of the word here. It says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. I had this scripture on my mind. I woke up with it this morning. I've been studying and looking at different things through the week, and this scripture came to my mind. Hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And when I think about worldly mindedness and I think about pride and envy, I think all of these things have a way of creeping in and causing us to become hardened. And of all people, the devil is working against it's the people of God. It's people that are tender-hearted. It's the people that have a real conscience and they're so sensitive. The devil's working hard against us. And I think today that God wants to help us to keep our fallow ground broken up. You might say, how often? I think very often. In the wintertime, you think, well, nothing's going to grow anyway, but does it not hurt to have the ground broken up even in the wintertime? Doesn't it, in preparation for the rain and everything to soak in and all the nutrients, sometimes the snow brings lots of good nutrients into the ground. We need the phosphorus and the potassium and the potash and nitrogen and all. We need those things in the soil. We need to keep our hearts broken up. Lord, help us today, because the Lord has some good seeds He wants to sow in our hearts. And being worldly minded with pride and envy and looking at the advancements in this life, it can cause us to become hard-hearted, and we might have a heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. I want to tell you there's a danger this morning. And being hard-hearted, there's a danger, because what I've found in life, if there's a wound somewhere, if we've been hurt, and that wound is very deep, the enemy of our souls rushes in on that hurt. He rushes in on that, and he tries to come in and bring his own healing or his sympathies. And we've got to be very careful, because the devil will present things to our mind and he will try to bring to our mind his method of healing. Well, what you need to do is just get completely away from that person. What you need to do is just this over here. You need to just do this and discard everything and go right over here. He's got all kinds of ways of presenting things, of his healing ways, that it might do a surface healing, but nothing down below. What we need is some down deep, down near the core of our heart, healings for our hurts and wounds. And I believe he said in the book of Revelation that there would be a healing for all the nations. There'd be a healing that we could have, and it would be a healing, something that would go deep down in the soul. We need that this morning, because the devil is out doing all that he can to just cause a little hurt, a little tinge of something that came from somebody from the church. Somebody from the church did this to me, and I'm going to tell you, the enemy of our souls will sure work havoc with that, and he'll just cause all kinds of troubles and things. Dear ones, today, let's keep a soft heart. Let's ask the Lord to break up and help us to break up our fallow ground. for us to do it. And I believe the Lord will help us when we start plowing. I want to read something here about plowing. There used to be an old saying the farmers had, "Don't balk it, as the farmers say. Do not turn aside for little difficulties. Drive the plow right through them. Dig deeply and turn the ground up so it may be mellow and soft." Oh, that is so necessary. Don't balk it. Don't balk it. If there's a place where we get to and there's a little difficulty and it seems like the ground is just a little hard there, you know what? Just stay after it. Stay after it and keep in there. I'm not a farmer, but I have a little old disc, and I love to see that ground when it's soft, to be that those sharp teeth of that disc could just go through there and turn that up, and some will turn it one way and another turn it another way, and it'll just fluff it up and it looks so nice. I want to say, if you got some hardened place in your heart and there's a little bit of pride or something, you keep running over that thing and it just seems like it makes a noise. I've listened to that plow, and it'll run over some rocks sometimes and make one of those sounds. If I had a chalkboard, and just imagine me running my hands over that chalkboard and that screeching sound that makes you just, "Oh, stop doing that." There's places in our life that are that way. We don't want to hear it. We want to get away from it because it makes a bad sound and it hurts sometimes. But the Lord wants us to keep plowing, keep working the dirt. Don't give up. Keep working it. Keep tilling it. Keep running something over it, pounding it and scratching it. It'll finally, you can break it up. How many people have you seen out in the field sometimes pulling all kinds of homemade instruments, breaking the ground up, softening it up? I've seen them pull an old bed spring. Some of you don't remember. It used to, your bed springs was a big old metal array of steel and these coil springs that you might still have some of them around. There might be some of them under your bed and you just don't see them like. But the frame used to be steel, and I've seen them hook that onto the tractor and drag them old bed springs across that ground and smoothing it out and getting it kind of shaped up and ready to plant. I don't know what kind of homemade device or whatever you want to use this morning to get your ground ready to receive the blessings of the Lord, but I tell you, we need to do some preparation. When we think about having a revival, you know what it takes? It's preparation. If we just said, "Oh, okay, tomorrow we're going to start with a revival," you might say, "Well, I didn't know anything about it. I didn't plan." No, you didn't. It wouldn't be fair. But I want to tell you, if we decide and the Lord burdens our hearts to have revival, the key to it is preparation. It's the praying and getting prepared and getting ready. Let me go on to a few things that I had wrote down here. Envy, to be envious of someone is not, or envious of another's prosperity, envious of someone else's advancements or whatever they had, it can bring a hardness of heart. Cheating, lying, those things can cause our hearts. We live in a world of people that love to tell the little white lies. The little white lies. Little things that, they seem like they're half-truths and all. May the Lord bless us to be people that are careful because we don't want to let our heart get hardened. I'm living for the Lord and serving Him in the best way I can. I don't want to let my heart get hardened. I don't want to let my children influence me. I don't want to let my neighbors, I don't want to let the people at work or wherever I'm at influence me. I don't want to become hardened. You see, my success lies in keeping my heart soft. Another thing is slander. The times you have spoken behind people's backs of their faults, real or supposed, of members of the church or others, unnecessarily or without good reason. You need not lie to be guilty of slander. To tell the truth with the design to injure is to slander. We need to be very careful because we're living in an injurious world, a world that is full of backbiting and gossiping and all of those things. It just tends to make the heart hard. Do you know what? I have seen people's hearts become hardened just under an unanointed preaching. And I thought, oh Lord, help us. The preaching of the gospel is meant to break up our hearts. It's meant to mellow us. It's meant to change us. But you know, I've seen preaching just seem like it can make a person hard. It can make you hard. And there's a heart situation, folks, that we need to be careful of. He said, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. You might be looking at someone else and think, well, they've got through pretty good. They've done pretty well in life. They've made it pretty well. And you can begin to judge yourself and begin to put yourself in a place that, well, if they made pretty well, I can probably do it all right too. And they've never had any real convictions about this, so I probably don't have to have them either. And he said it's not good to compare yourselves among yourselves. It's not good. We need to compare ourselves. He said, mark the perfect man, behold the upright, for the end of that man is peace. We need to look at Jesus Christ and keep Him first and foremost. Be careful with your soul this morning. Nobody else is handling it. Be careful. Nobody else is going to take care of it. Be careful with your soul because you're ultimately responsible for it. Nobody else is responsible. We're not going to be able to say, God, it was because of what all those people in the church did, the reason I got hardened and I strayed away from you and I got so bitter. It's because of my father. It's because of my lack of his presence, and he neglected and run off and left us. It's because of the way my mother did, or it's because of what happened to my, I was abused by my brother, I was abused by this person, or all these things come. He said, you know, ultimately it lies in our own hands. Our soul is continually in our hands. And Lord, help us today. And so we think about keeping a soft heart, folks, it means watching that these little things don't come in and cause us to become hardened. Don't let things cause your heart to be hardened. Slander is one of them. Hindering others from being useful. The hindrance of others from being useful. Perhaps you've weakened their influence by insinuations against them. You have not only robbed God of your own talents, but you have tied the hand of somebody else. The Lord doesn't want us to be that way. He wants us to be soft-hearted people. He wants us to be people that have a clear conscience. Paul said that he wanted to be a person that had a conscience void of offense. He wanted to be careful in everything that he done. I believe the Lord this morning wants us all to be careful. I want to read a book of a scripture from the book of Job, and I thought of this verse this morning. I was doing some studying and meditating on the Lord today. Job 9:4. He is wise in heart and mighty in strength. Who hath hardened himself against him and hath prospered? Job 9:4. The part that stuck with me is, who has hardened himself against him and prospered? Who among us can prosper with a hardened heart? Who can prosper with pride? Who can prosper with envy and slander and unbelief and all these things, the sins of omission, the sins of commission? Who among us can prosper with a heart that is hard against God? Oh, I tell you today, we need to be very careful. The world, he said, be careful of the offenses of the world. There's many of them. There's things that we can be offended at. Be careful, because I know the enemy of our soul is working through our emotions, our natural person. If we were born a very sensitive person, thank God for that sensitivity. also, the other side of that is be careful, because that sensitivity in the hand of God is wonderful. But when we turn to our own strengths and we are influenced by Satan, he can take that sensitivity and turn it into something hard. Yes. Have you ever been with hard people? Difficult people? People that have been traumatized? One time I was battling a situation, and as I was preaching, I just saw this veil over this person's face. And I thought, Lord, I cannot. There's no way. I'm not having any influence at all with them. Please help me to see what is wrong. I do not understand it. I cannot understand what's happening. And I began to pray. And you know, within a few weeks, I saw what that veil was. And the Lord helped to bring about a situation to break that down. I want to tell you this morning, I've talked with people that's been traumatized. One lady told me in tears, she said, my 12-year-old brother committed suicide. I felt so bad about that. I watched my dad beat my mom right in front of us, and I couldn't help. And the next lady, she began to say, and I thought, we have saw so many things that's been, people have been victimized, traumatized. We need a healing. Lord, we need help. We need help. And I believe the Lord is there this morning to give us that help. And I encouraged those too. There's a place of healing. We don't have to go through life in a hardened condition, in a hardened state, and never coming out of that. I believe there is healing for us. I'm thankful for that today. The Lord is a healer. He is able to keep things in the proper place. He's able to help us to not let those things, to recognize them before they get out of hand. Exodus 14 and 7, very familiar scripture. I'm almost through. Exodus 14 and 17, 14 and 17. He said here, and behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. Oh, today there are still those chariots that are buried there in that sea as they tried to cross and they went after the children of Israel. The chariots are still there. The only thing, the wheels are gone off of them. They were gone off before the waters came on them. There's evidence today. If you would go down there in the bottom of that sea, you would see chariot wheels over here and chariots over here. There was a hardness of people's heart. He said, I'm going to get glory upon this. I'm going to show my great power. I'm going to harden these people's hearts. But you're going to be able to see what I do. He said, as those chariot wheels came off, they drove them harder, trying to get across, trying to keep going on, trying to keep pursuing. Wouldn't give up. Wouldn't stop for nothing. Driving those things on the bottoms of those chariots and all the sparks flying and everything, and still just going as hard as all get out and not getting very fast anywhere. Keep on driving. Those horses kept pulling them and pulling them, and the load and everything happening there just kept driving them. Their hearts were hard. Folks, how long does it take? How many sparks do we have to see fly, and how much... Are we driving and driving? Just keep on pushing them horses and letting them pull. And no doubt there were some of the bridles and things begin to snap and things, the harnesses and all that they was pulling with, some of the leather and all gave way. They kept on driving them. their hearts were hard. I thought about Balaam, and he kept after, he was looking for that earthly reward. He wanted something. He was called the avaricious prophet. He was that person that he wanted that, he wanted the recognition from somebody, and he kept on, and finally he got that poor little old animal down in a place, and he just collapsed under him. He couldn't see him, and he began to beat him, and he said, "Oh, if I had a sword, I'd kill you." And that donkey said, "But I've taken you everywhere you wanted to go. I've been a good donkey." He said, "I don't care. I'd still kill you if I had a sword." How long does it take in the condition of our heart? How far do we keep pushing? This man, Balaam, he was talking to an animal. He was so out of touch that he began, his mind, he wasn't even thinking straight. And then the donkey just began to talk back to him. The Lord done that. This donkey's talking back to him. His lips were moving. I wonder sometimes, this condition of a hardness of heart, it goes from a small stage first. Possibly there's a little hurt. Possibly there's something here in life. Maybe we felt a little hurt, and it advances as we go on. Here we can find that it has gone to the place beyond reason. This is a hardness of heart that is not the normal. When you're driving these animals and you're in a chariot, the wheels are off of it, the sparks are flying, everything's under a strain, and you're so focused. You're so focused. I got to get to that other side. I got to catch these people. I got to do it. That we lose all sense of reasoning. You see, it starts with something small, and it progresses to where we just lose all sense of reasoning. And our whole life is consumed by it. Hardness of heart. Watch out, because it does progress. And the Lord wants to help us today. Help us to keep a tender heart. If we find ourselves talking with animals and driving chariots that don't have wheels on them, we're way out of touch. If we find ourselves in such a strain and our focus we've stopped feeding, we've stopped nurturing, we've stopped taking that, having the sensitivity and all, and our focus is just on something here. You know, folks, we just lose something. We lose something. Wouldn't it have been nice for those Egyptians if they had just stopped? Ho, the one in the lead. Ho, stop. We better turn around and go back. Yeah, my wheel's gone too. Gear's gone. Yeah. We're going to have to talk to that mechanic who's been working on these chariots. He's really not doing a good job. Let's turn around and go back. I believe some of them could have escaped. They could have got out of there. But no. The main thrust was get them. And they lost. They lost their lives. The horses, everything. Everything was gone. It kind of tells you that those people were very hard-hearted. And they got to a place they were so hard, they lost their feelings for humanity. They lost them. God help us today. Having a tender heart is something very necessary. Mark 6 and 52. I believe he's told us in different places for the husbands to be, husband's the head of the home. A husband is the one that sets the tone of the home. A husband is the one that provides and nurtures, takes care of the spiritual needs of the family. I believe that's necessary today. I believe that the husbands are to set the tone. We're not to be a driving inconsiderate person, someone that has no feelings, but we're to be tender-hearted. He said in one place, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We set the tone of the home. Is your wife glad to see you when you come home? Are you glad to see her? What makes you want to come home? I've had pigeons that's come home over 600 miles. They flew their wings off to get home. What'd they come home for? Home meant food. It meant shelter. It meant protection. It meant a safety. There was a place. There was family there. Home is a place that I want to be. Keeping a tender heart, folks, it just helps us. It helps our home life. It helps in every asset, every little place of our life. Having a tender heart goes such a long ways. Lord, help us to not forget men to ask forgiveness. I believe the Lord can help us to do that when we realize there's something we've done is wrong. 6 and 52. I want to read this. I quoted it a while ago. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened. They passed over, they went to the land of the Gennesaret and drew to the shore. How close was the Lord to them? Was it just the loaves, the miracles and all that that caused their heart to be softened? Was that the reason they were following Him? Is it just for the miracles we want to see when those are gone and poof, everything else flies out the window? Everything else is gone when all the miracles cease. And I can't see God, and I just, every service or every day isn't just full of something that's real inspirational to me. And I lose sight of Him. My heart gets hardened. Folks, listen. Oh, I was putting on this crack filler in walls when you get ready to paint them. And it's pink when you put it on, and it turns white when it gets hard. And you know it's ready to paint. The world is just like that. And our hearts are similar to that. Our hearts, we get in service and we hear the word of the Lord and things. And our hearts, there's things that just open up. But as you go out in the world, it gets dry so quick. What we do is we find ourselves doing this. We get stirred in the meeting, and then we go back home and get hard. Up, we get encouraged, and we... You know what I found? Self-examination. Taking things home with us and examining in our hearts. Examining when we get home. Lord, is there something here you've been trying to work on me? Have I been so preoccupied? Do I have slander? Have I said this? Has my focus just been this, and I've neglected this over here? Lord, how is it that you want me to live? I believe the Lord wants to take some of these things home with us, folks. I believe He wants us to be tender tomorrow. I believe He wants us to do some breaking up. Not just a revival. Not just for a little 3-day or week's meeting and then we get all broken up. Then we go back into our old self. Real revival changes things. I'm going to tell you, there was some George Whitfields and Charles Finneys and people that got a hold of God. And Charles Finney one time was preaching in New York, and the major part of the businessmen and leaders in that city got saved. They were changed. There was a revival. There was 1,500 or so people. Lives just... They began to repent. His meetings were characterized by mourning. People were sorrowful. There was such conviction of sin. I wonder today, if we're not lacking some of those things, Lord, help us today to have a tenderness and a real seeking the Lord. I believe our main scripture we read this morning was in Hosea. Break up your fallow ground, till the Lord come and rain righteousness. He rains on us, on that tender soil. I want to encourage you today, whatever it takes, break up your fallow ground. Amen.